Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You're listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. An Odyssey station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The
Score! This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
Mully and Hall, live and local. Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Liam Watts, he's got that slider queued up. If he gets it close, it'll probably end the at bat.
And it does. And the White Sox pull off a combined one-hit shutout. Rodon, Kopech, and Hendricks, and they take 2-3.
The 3-2. Curveball, strike three called, and the ball game is over. A breaking ball catches Contreras looking. Arizona wins it by a score of 6-4.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Tom Thayer in for Mully today. Thank you to NBC Sports Chicago for that final call of the Sox victory over the Astros on Sunday, and to WSCR for the last out of the Cubs loss to the Diamondbacks. The Cubs win 2 out of 3 in Arizona. The White Sox win 2 out of 3 against the Astros. More significantly, Tom, because that was a statement victory. That was a statement series. In the last two games on Saturday and Sunday, the White Sox pitchers gave up 1 run, 4 hits to the most complete offense in the American League. Dare I say the Astros are that team, and they came into this weekend, as we discussed, with doubts about their ability to beat good teams. On Friday night, those doubts were confirmed when the Astros win 10-1. But over the weekend, I think it showed just the strength and the depth of the Sox starting pitching and what that can do and what that can mean when they're dealing to the extent that they were.
Yeah, you know, and just the fact that with the recovery of the pitching staff of the final 2 days of the series, because if they weren't able to beat the Astros and they walked out of here, winning 2 out of 3 or possibly 3 out of 3, then I think it would have sent a really bad message to the batters, to the pitching staff, to the entire clubhouse of the White Sox if Houston would have walked out of here, you know, beating them 3 in a row. However, I think the Sox were able to recover and recapture the momentum of the kind of where they're at this point in the season by that pitching display, both individually and as a staff, when you bring in multiple pitchers. So it was exciting to see what happened over the weekend, but you know, you got to keep up that momentum, you know, into their next series and down the road. But fun, you know. It would have, you know, for Dylan Cease, you know, when he got this thing rolling after the All-Star break, it would have just been, you know, even a bigger impact on this team if he would have had a better performance.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, because you're coming off the All-Star break, and I think people want to see Dylan Cease have the same impact on this pitching staff that you're getting with Lynn, Rodon, and the rest of the
guys. That's a lot to ask, though, because, and I agree with you, I think they want to have Dylan Cease be as consistent as he showed that he, you know, may start to become in at the end of the first half, but that's a tall order. And I wondered going into this series, coming out of the All-Star break, why the White Sox chose to configure the rotation in the way that they did, with Cease starting on Friday and Rodon waiting until Sunday, even though he didn't pitch at the All-Star game.
and then the way they used Giolito. But you know what? That's all hindsight now, and obviously it's speculation that's fair game, but all's well that ends well because they made the right decisions. Dylan Cease and the Sox, they lose on Friday night, but boy, Giolito looked sharp in giving up one run on Saturday, and Rodon looked even sharper in giving up one hit along with Kopech and Hendricks on Sunday. And this was the seventh time this year, Tom, that Carlos Rodon has had a start and given up two hits or fewer. Think about that. That's how good Carlos Rodon, the guy they non-tendered, the guy coming back and trying to prove himself on a one-year contract. Seven starts with two hits or less. That is consistency. That's just nasty.
But don't you think he got a little bit more, you have to focus on damage control with Dylan Cease, though? So say he comes out in his next start, he gets rocked again, and then all of a sudden, now you're kind of confused about where he's going to go throughout the second half of the season, where when you look at Rodon and Lance Lynn, man, these guys are the everyman. They, like you talk about, their appearance, it looks like they could come out of the stands and be a pitcher for White Sox. And Dylan Cease has got a whole different look to him. So you want to be able to capitalize on what you believe he's capable of being. And if you don't get a good showing from him his next start, you know, I know it's only two starts after the All-Star break, but you still want to see him to do something impressive when he gets his opportunities.
And I stand corrected. The Sox lost 7-1 on Friday. It wasn't as bad as 10-1. It just seemed like it. And Dylan Cease wasn't really all that bad, Tom, because I think that game got away from the Sox when Aaron Bummer came in. And Dylan Cease goes 5 2/3. He struck out 10, and he was the guy that he's your fifth starter, and I think that you have to remember that as well. The Sox have really good veterans in front of him, and they picked up the team as they should, and Lance Lynn goes today as part of a doubleheader. I think Ronaldo Lopez might make that start. He's called up from Charlotte. Remember him. So they have a lot of depth, and we saw that over the weekend, and I think the Sox did make a statement. I don't know if other people agree because they came into this weekend known as bum slayers to many of their fans. What do you think? 312-644-6767. When the Sox get that kind of starting pitching, though, Tom, I think that they legitimize their World Series aspirations in this season, which has been framed as World Series or bust because of the realities with Tony La Russa and everything else that goes with having him here.
You know, I'm probably being unfair to Dylan Cease. It's just that I have high expectations for him. He's a young guy with a big, strong, powerful, you know, ability to stand up there and throw strikes. But, you know, maybe because of the other guys are doing so well, you know, that Maybe it's good that
it pales in comparison a little bit.
It's good that you have higher expectations for Dylan Cease because, you know, you think that, you know, at the beginning of the season, you think that he was going to be one of the guys that was going to bring you to the level in which Lynn and Rodon and these guys are of today.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that because we talk a lot about how internally the Sox, the pitching rotation could be competitive with each other in a friendly way, in a positive way. Because when you see Giolito go out on Saturday and give up one run to the Astros, what that does to the mindset of Carlos Rodon going out on Sunday and knowing there's a standard to meet, and he exceeded that, and he set it even higher with one hit given up. And so today, Lance Lynn goes to the mound, and he sees what these other two guys have done against a better team than the one he's facing today with the Twins. How does that affect what is it like for professional athletes when the competition comes from within their team? It's a friendly competition, but it certainly raises the level of performance, you would think, or maybe the expectation level within that locker room or clubhouse.
Right. I think it really, like, the bar has been raised because of the performance of other guys on your staff, but they also want to continue to raise that bar, and they want to continue to perform of the expectations that the pitching staff has there. And you know what, too, is one thing I like is when you look into the dugout and you look at the camaraderie of this team, and it's whether it's Abreu slapping the backs of the other guys on it, or how the pitching staff all sits together and it's constant conversation about the next batter or what they're going to do or a demonstration of how to throw a pitch. So I think it's really positive for this team to have, you know, that the expectations continue to rise, because it's got to be that way throughout a season if you really have World Series aspirations.
Well, they do, and a lot of that camaraderie that you referred to, you have to have the right mix and the right mix of personalities. And I think the Sox certainly do, because of Tim Anderson as the leader and Jose Abreu as the kind of the big brother to Tim Anderson, and they mesh well, and they set the tone in that clubhouse. But you've got a manager, and curious to get your thoughts, because here we are midseason, and I know that you have paid a lot of attention to the baseball season, but I haven't heard you in terms of the La Russa impact and what his presence means to this team and the relatability. He was a controversial figure when he was hired. He had some struggles in that first month or so when there were some controversial moments. How would you describe the impact of 76-year-old Tony La Russa on this White Sox team?
You know, I feel a lot. You know, at the beginning, I didn't like it. I thought it was just not necessarily game has passed him by, but I thought there's younger people out there that could be put into this situation and kind of develop and grow into the managerial position, because you have such a strong dugout. You have some personalities in there that the game is important to them. You have some pitchers with experience that they can kind of lead. Not necessarily a first-time manager, but a manager that doesn't have the age and the experience of Tony La Russa. But the way he's kind of grown this team and allow them to be the young personalities and have the fun inside the dugout, I like what Tony's been able to do. But, you know, I kind of think back of when it was the Yermaine Mercedes, how he treated him on that 3-0 pitch.
Called him clueless.
Yes, but so the other day, you know, Abreu, he had the same 3-0 count, and they were speculating, is he going to be willing to take it, or, you know, is he going to have to accept what Tony wants him to do? And he took the pitch, and it was a strike, but he ended up getting a walk and left on first base without, you know, he didn't give Abreu the right to do what he wanted to do on a 3-0 pitch. It's like what Tony says goes, and you see what happened with Mercedes. So, you know, Tony has got a big influence on here if you're a older, experienced guy like Abreu.
Let's go out to the Score listener line, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Good morning. You're on the Score. We have somebody here that ready
good
to go.
Morning.
Good morning.
Down
you're on the Score.
Hey, we got it. Down from Joliet.
What's up, John?
How you doing, John?
First of all, Mr. Joliet Catholic, it's an honor to speak to you, sir. I put my kids through that high school, and it's just an honor to talk to you, Tom. Not that it's not to you, David, but I have a White Sox hangover. I spent 2 days out there Saturday and Sunday. And the White Sox motto should have been next man up, because if you had told me Goodwin, Hamilton, Berger, Sheets, I would have been like, who the heck are these guys? But, man, it was awesome just to watch the next man up. Friday night, 5 home runs. Yesterday, 3 home runs. And it's not just that. You're looking at the pitch count in the 4th inning, the 5th inning on Saturday, and you're like, okay, how long is Giolito going to get through this one? The guy looked fantastic yesterday, watching three guys get on the mound and just blow the doors off the Houston Astros. It's like, I mean, there's just so much to say that's positive. What are you going to do when these guys, Roberts and Eloy, come back? It's just, man, it's beautiful to be a White Sox fan right now.
Thanks, John. Appreciate the phone call and your chance to talk to Joliet royalty.
Yeah. You know what? The first question of 5 of 5, what did the White Sox prove by taking 2 out of 3? And to me, it's like what John talked about, is that impressive display of hitters from top to bottom. So if you think they're going to make some, you know, change because you made a change in your pitching staff, you can put someone up to the plate that has home run potential or base running speed, or they can go into a lot of different directions. So, you know, I think those of us in Joliet who grew up as White Sox, you know, fans, that's, we kind of gravitated closer to the Comiskey back then than we did to Wrigley. So I think it's exciting for us to have what the White Sox are doing and what you know, they have the ability to do and how they can improve when these injured guys get healthy.
Who was your first favorite White Sox player as a kid?
Dick Allen. You know, I remember had a chance to sit with Greg Luzinski at a Notre Dame.
The Bull.
Yeah, had a chance to sit with him at a Notre Dame pep rally when I was playing at Notre Dame. He came and sat on stage with us. And I remember sitting next to him, and I had a beard similar to his. And I was looking at him and go, wow, you know, look at this guy. Here's a Major League Baseball player. But, the attraction of old Comiskey was as much of an attraction as any players back then. But, you know, it was kind of fun growing up in such close relation to that park. And my next door neighbor who is a huge White Sox fan, and she still is. And so there was a lot of Joliet conversation about the Sox.
Let's go back to the phones. Mike is in Rochelle. Good morning, Mike. Welcome to the Score.
Good morning, guys. Great show so far. I really like when Tom steps in. It's awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
As far as the pitching staff, I think in a good way, have you been in conversation with somebody and they're kind of like a one-upper, not a storyteller, but a one-upper kind of person?
A topper.
Yeah. That's the mindset you want from your pitching staff. Like, hey, look what he did yesterday. Oh, well, in a good way, you know, it, watch this. Let me throw seven strong innings. So I really think – it is the mentality of our team, of the White Sox team, is derived from our pitching staff, I believe. Tim Anderson's a big personality. Luis Roberts is. And Abreu also. But I really think that we're going to hang our hat on the pitching staff just like we have done for the first part of this year. So I hope that they stay strong and I gotta tell you, it's the pitching staff's what's gonna put you in the playoffs, and the pitching staff is what wins series. So, you know, as long as the bats stay alive, I think we got a great shot to go really far.
Great phone call, Mike. Thanks for making it. I like that idea, Tom. Everybody knows a topper, yeah. Right? Everybody knows. Well, you know what? My roof leaked over the weekend. Well, you know what? My basement flooded. You know? Or boy, I had a great trip to Hawaii. Well, you know, I went to Europe. So everyone's got a topper, and the White Sox, to a lesser degree, have that same sort of mentality. It's like, okay, I can give up one run, Lucas Giolito says on Saturday. Carlos Rodon says, oh, yeah, I'll give up one hit. And Sunday goes out and deals against the Astros.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's exciting in that, but that's kind of the atmosphere you have to have. And, I think if you want to – it's an atmosphere that changes from going out to see what you can do or an atmosphere going out there with the intentions of, you know, having this thing conclude to a World Series. And I think that's the everyday attitude that you have to have when you go out on the field for the White Sox. You know, when you, whatever position you're going to play, is you have to have, if Tim Anderson got a double, then I'm going to get a triple.
Yeah.
If you're going to give up one home run, in a big victory like the Sox had with Giolito,
right.
Like you said, I'm going to give up one hit. And it's great because they even have a closer, you know, on both sides, you know, north side, south side, but for the White Sox specifically, they have a closer that has an attitude that's not scared to display this overexciting thrill of closing it out for this baseball team. And he talks about how the hardest three outs to get is the closer's three outs. And
right.
Yeah, I think that's the attitude you have to have.
That's a good point. I'm going to make a better one when we come back. We got the pick six next with Tom Theron from Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
After the White Sox beat the Astros in a tweet Sunday afternoon, David referred to the Sox as, quote, the best Chicago sports story in 2021. Is it now or could it be? If not, what else could become the best Chicago sports story in 2021?
I was really surprised. I got some pushback on this, Tom, via social media about Justin Fields getting drafted by the Bears being a bigger story than the White Sox actually being in position to win a World Series and them being a first-place team that just disposed of the Astros in 2 out of 3 games. Look, I respect that. Justin Fields may be the most buzzworthy or surprising or even exciting Chicago sports story in 2021, but it's not the best one. The Sox are a better story because they actually have done something. Justin Fields has yet to take an NFL snap, and with due respect, until that, he hasn't even practiced yet in full pads with the Bears. And I think that this has the potential to be a real fun thing, and maybe it will be by the end of the year the best story in Chicago sports-wise in 2021, but not yet. I mean, I just don't think it's the time to declare Justin Fields somebody. It's all about potential. The Sox are about production, and what the Sox have done to this point to get 20 games over 500 with a new manager that is as polarizing as they come in baseball, yes, that's the best story in Chicago.
I think if it was what's the best story in 2022, I think the signing and the emergence of Justin Fields would be the top headline. To me, it is about the White Sox, and it's exciting to see what they have the opportunity to accomplish. And it'll be interesting to see when the injured guys come back and to see if they contribute and allow the Sox to play on an even higher level offensively. But, you know, one of the best stories in Chicago would be signing Baez Bryant Rizzo. If you went back there and you're a Cubs fan and they have fans all around the world, and especially if you listen to Arizona and the impact that they have in other opponent stadiums, if you would sign those three guys, you would satisfy a lot of the palates of the Chicago Cubs fans, and it would be an enormous story, because if you don't sign them, if you don't sign any of them, who is going to take their places, and how much of a setback does that become? And then what happens to the future of David Ross?
Dang. A pick six to end the half!
As satisfied as Rick Hahn has to be after this weekend, how would you describe his sense of urgency as the trade deadline nears? And what is his priority list as Hahn wakes up this morning 11 days from the deadline?
I don't think you're in an emergency scenario. I don't think you have to go out there and make some blockbuster deal, because there's guys within your own pitching staff that you got to be kind of concerned about trying to keep these guys in the fold, especially after you just went and gave Lance Lynn that amount of money for 2 years. And so now you've opened up your pocketbook and you've shown these other agents that are going to negotiate that are already part of the White Sox of what's expected of them. So I don't think Rick Hahn has to have some, you know, sleepless nights thinking, oh, my God, what else do I need? Because, you know, you keep bringing up the guys that are getting back in the fold and that are going to be contributors to this team as the fall wears on. So, hey, man, I think Rick Hahn should be sleeping comfortably.
Yeah, I think if you're Rick Hahn, you wake up this morning, you get your workout in, you have your egg white omelet, you have your cup of coffee, and you very casually get into your day. Urgency implies that you're going to make a deal because you have to. I think the Sox should make a deal still. I think they need to make probably two deals, second base and a bullpen arm, but not because they have to, because it makes sense for them and they're not overpaying, because when you feel the sense of urgency, you might be more inclined to overpay. So have a relaxed, rational, good perspective going into this trade deadline. Still know that you're going for it. You're going to try to win this year. That urgency exists. It goes without saying, but don't make a bad deal because you feel it.
A pick six of 100 yards.
What's the Cubs' biggest obligation as they head to St. Louis for a four-game series? Beating the rival Cardinals to remain competitive and try to reignite the season, or unloading the next big asset so they can assure getting something in return for the players with expiring contracts? Aren't those things in conflict?
They are in conflict. They don't have, they're not compatible necessarily, because trying to win while unloading your best players is something that is a natural conflict, but that is where the Cubs are. They declared a lane. They made a choice. And Jed Hoyer, we applauded his transparency. That's his strength. With transparency comes credibility, and he has it right now. But I do think that when he did it, the danger in being as honest and open as Jed was, you basically said the rest of the season doesn't matter in the standings. So when you go into St. Louis for a four-game series, it's not like other years where you go into St. Louis for a four-game series. The big suspense now is who's next and what the price is going to be for Kimbrel. What are people offering for Bryant? What about Anthony Rizzo and Javi Baez? Will they sign long-term contract extensions like John Heyman, who we'll talk to in a little bit, reported? So that's the big story more than the outcomes.
Is this the reason you signed David Ross? To make important decisions at some of the most important times during the course of the baseball seasons that he was the new manager? Because, you know, David Ross, he knows more about the status of the bodies of Bryant and Rizzo, probably more so than anybody, because he's had the conversations with these guys when he was an active player. So now, are they in the clubhouse and these guys are telling David Ross as an active player how sore their body is? And now, does David Ross have to keep that in mind when they're talking about what the future of these guys are with the Cubs? And hey, I love these guys. I think they're going to go down in history as some of the greatest players in Chicago sports, of all the sports. So, you know, it's you know, a really awkward position for David Ross, because he's got to help these guys make important front office decisions that's going to dictate the fate of guys like Rizzo, Bryant, Baez. So, yeah, you got to win, but you also have to be honest with your future.
Pick six.
Suns have a timeout. Decide not to call it. Booker the drive. Gets inside. Leans in. Knocked away and stolen by Holiday. Phoenix has to foul. And a pinnacle ball. Throws it down. And a foul. Giannis on the alley-oop. What a turnaround. A chance to take the lead and the turnover. As the Bucks now up by three and a free throw coming up.
In a Game 5 victory of the NBA Finals, Giannis Antetokounmpo came up big in crunch time with an alley-oop dunk from Jrue Holiday, as you heard in that clip from ABC. That was unforgettable as his block to save Game 4. Which play was bigger? And is the Bucks title now inevitable as the legend of the Greek Freak grows?
Which play was bigger? The steal by Jrue Holiday in the instant was a big play. However, it's kind of you know, you look at how well organized that big body is and that alley-oop and how he's able to control his frame up in the air, grab the ball, and you know, make sure that he walked away with points. But it's hard to ignore the overall body of work of Giannis, because what he does, you know, from the three-point line to underneath the basket, his ability to grab rebounds and return them, you know, as dunks, just the overall appreciation for how hard this guy plays, you know, yeah, you can't overlook, because Booker is unbelievable. If he gets anywhere, you know, a free shot from the three-point line to inside the paint, most likely he's going to make it. So just to keep your awareness about yourself and make that steal and then be able to convert it, yeah, for that instant, it's hard to ignore that, but yep, it's also hard to ignore the overall body of work of Giannis.
The alley-oop or the dunk, which is your favorite child? I mean, that's a tough choice, or the block or the dunk. I would have to think the alley-oop dunk is bigger, because it came in Game 5. Winner of Game 5, I think, is going to win the series, and the game was still in question at that point. The only thing better than the dunk was the celebration. Oh, my gosh, the look on Giannis's face and the way that he reacted to that, and everybody knew exactly what he was thinking. And you know what? They are one victory away tomorrow night in Milwaukee from Giannis joining Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Oscar Robertson in that kind of Milwaukee lore, NBA legacy intact. And that's what's at stake tomorrow night. And I think when they win, and I think they are going to win tomorrow night, we're going to look at Giannis a lot differently than we do now.
Pick six! Wow!
Each NFL team received $309.2 million in national revenue last year, according to the Packers' publicly filed financial report Friday, but local losses in Green Bay were down 71% due to the pandemic, down $61.8 million. Can you relate these numbers to anything going on with the Bears and their future, or does it simply underscore what a TV powerhouse the NFL remains?
I think a little bit of both. I think absolutely this reminds you that television revenue is what drives the engine that is the NFL, and the local losses being down 71%, it probably speaks to very similar numbers around the league, maybe in some markets even worse, because Green Bay is what it is and means what it means to that community and to that marketplace. So I think you could see probably similar numbers in Chicago in relative terms. As far as the overall $309 million in national revenue going to every team, including the Bears, it just reminds you that when they talk about moving to Arlington Heights, that the financial risks may not be as great as you think. And there might be even more money to be made, and might be financial incentives that drive them out to the suburbs. So I think it just is a reminder that of just how attractive and powerful the NFL is on television.
You know, if you've been around Green Bay or going, you know, I've been going there now since the 80s, and I've seen what that stadium has become. And thankfully, they've had Brett Favre backed up by Aaron Rodgers, and they've been able to pack that stadium and build that monstrosity because of they have the loyalty of the fan base there. But it also kind of makes you concerned that if you did have, we were in a downturn and you weren't as attractive of a team, and you were packing the stadium every time, this could happen to a lot of teams. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in SoFi Stadium out in L.A., what's going to happen with the Raiders if they don't continue to pack the house and bring in fans. And so I just think it gives you an indication that you better put a good product on the field in order to keep your revenue streams as high as what's expected of you to be able to stay in a financial competitive market. And, there's going to be a lot of lessons learned, and hopefully that all the stadiums are going to be refilled this year.
This is Jamal Adams with a block and a pick six.
Kofi Coburn of Illinois ended the suspense Friday afternoon and announced amid much fanfare on social media that he was returning to Illinois for his third season. What was your reaction to Kofi's decision and the hubbub it created?
I'm happy, because I want to see Illinois stay and get on the map. And when you have a player like this that kind of lets some of these young guys that are looking at where they want to go, where they want to spend their future, or is this an attractive destination, it adds to the profile of it. And it's almost like a carryover. I like to see what new football coach Brett Bielema is doing. Brett Bielema, whatever, however you say his last name, that he's staying inside the Illinois market in order to bring in some of these recruits to keep, a supportive fan base that they need in all sports. So, hey, I like the positive attention they're receiving.
I like it because Kofi Coburn will be an All-American.
Yep.
I like it because Illinois probably will be a top 10 team. There'll be a lot of attention focused on it. The only thing I don't like is what I referenced on Friday and probably went on a little bit more of an old man rant about is that when Kofi Coburn announced the fact he's going to return for his junior year after he basically was amplifying his indecision. And the fact that he had to have an announcement that he was coming back and, hey, look at me, I'm going to choose the place that has been good to me for the first 2 years over Florida State and Kentucky. I just don't think he needed the fuss or the fanfare to do something that he should have been expected to do all along. So if he was going to the NBA, congratulations, you've earned that right. But if he was going to put himself in the transfer portal and pulling himself out, he wanted to call a press conference for, just come on. Just return quietly. Go win your national championship. He's going to be an All-American. Good for Illinois, but could have done without the fanfare. But that's just me. All right, that is the Pick 6. We will talk to Bruce Levine coming up next. Tom Thayer in for Mully. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
People are going to look at results. So the fact we won 2 out of 3. But, we were ready to play. We played well. We pitched well. And they're really good. So whatever the numbers are, they are. But obviously, when your goal is to keep winning and enhance your position, and a team like that's who your first opponent is, and we got beat the first day, it was significant.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Tom Thayer in for Mully today. That was the voice of Tony La Russa following the White Sox victory Sunday over the Astros. They took 2 out of 3, big series for the White Sox, a significant one for the season. It's time now to go out to the Home Run In hotline. Try your pizza on the grill this summer. Visit homerunin.com for unique grilling recipes and more. And that's where we find the Score's baseball expert and my Saturday co-host on Inside the Clubhouse, Bruce Levine. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing well. It was a pretty good weekend for both Chicago teams. Where would you like to begin?
I think we begin with the most significant development probably in town and maybe in the American League. The White Sox look like the team that is going to be very difficult to beat, Bruce, with their starting pitching. Lucas Giolito, 1 run on Saturday. Carlos Rodon says, I can do better. 1 hit on Sunday. Rodon to Kopech to Hendricks. What did the White Sox say to you this weekend?
Well, they said a lot, but I think it all began with the signing of Lance Lynn. That really solidified not only their goal for 2021, but their idea that over the next 2 years, after this, that they're going to be a serious contender, not afraid to spend resources to keep valuable pieces of the team. And I think Lynn has established himself as not only a wonderful pitcher every 5 days, but somebody that's a team leader and somebody that some of the younger pitchers have looked at and admired and picked some things up from as far as competition goes.
Hey, Bruce, just switch over to the Cubs real quick. When you look at Rizzo leading off, is that a pitcher against decision, or is that just trying to change up the order a little bit to get a little bit more out of the bats for the Cubs?
Well, they really don't have a leadoff man. I mean, they traded away their left fielder, and he had been leading off quite a bit. Now he's in Atlanta. And against certain left-handers, during the year, Contreras has been leading off. He's been the leadoff guy. He got a day off on the third day back from the All-Star break. The key is, Contreras has caught more innings, has also caught more games than any catcher in baseball. Picking up Robinson Chirinos, they feel they have a dependable backup now, and they need to rest Contreras because he's an important part of their offensive game every day. So I think that's what they're trying to do here. So the leadoff spot has been, it's been shaky ever since 2017, when they lost their leadoff guy and he went to St. Louis. So with all that in mind, it's a lineup that's evolving, Tom. We don't know where people are going to hit We don't know on a daily basis what the lineup's going to be. It changes. I mean, who would have, you know, how much money would you have won if you would have said Patrick Wisdom was the cleanup hitter for the Chicago Cubs coming back from the All-Star break? But that's the case right now.
Bruce, when you talk about the Lance Lynn contract and its significance to the White Sox future, how do you think it affects, if at all, the Carlos Rodon contract coming up or those discussions, and even whether or not this would be a possibility for Rodon to sign an extension during the season?
Well, you know, normally you would say a Scott Boras client is likely, most likely, to go to full free agency once he gets to his free agent year. And in the case of, you know, Rodon, he's only a couple months away from free agency. Obviously, one of the most attractive left-handed pitchers at age, he'll play at age 29 next year. So you think he's going to get a huge contract and a lot of play out there. But Rodon's a different guy, okay? He, you know, he came back to the Chicago White Sox after being non-tendered and signed a contract for $1.5 million less than what was his slot for 2021. So there's a lot of feeling about being a Chicago White Sox pitcher. And on top of that, I think he really feels comfortable being a Chicago White Sox player. So I would say that he might be the exception to the rule, that they could get him signed before November when he becomes a free agent, or then again afterwards. But I just feel this one might be a little different for a Boras client.
Bruce, when you look at the series in Arizona, you know, because they won 2 out of 3 against the worst team in baseball, but now they go to St. Louis and equal record. What do you expect out of this series? Is it something that can catapult them forward to, you know, re-believing in themselves? Or is every series going to be like a struggle and you have to wait until the outcome of the end?
Well, I really like their approach coming out of the break. The guy, if you watch the game yesterday, I was more impressed. Yeah, they lost, but I was more impressed by their approach of going to right field and trying to score runs that way. And Baez talking after the game about, hey, I have to stop thinking home run approach and think more about base hits, that we have to be a team that, you know, hits the ball the other way, tries to score runs, and get back to being a playoff team, a first-place team. So he wasn't distracted when he was asked about his contract and whether or not he feels he can sign one before the trading deadline has come and gone. And I was impressed by that. I think David Ross really has these guys concentrating on the game and being better at what they're doing. Even the, you know, the guys that have been around for a long time that are going to be free agents. And I think some good things came out of the Contreras rant from a couple Saturdays ago when he called out his teammates. I really think that, that they're a more cohesive unit. That said, you know, David and I talked about Saturday the fact that the starting pitching is just short, okay? And it's going to be really hard to get back into the race and catch up 9 games in the, you know, in the standings against Milwaukee. But that doesn't mean they can't be one of the better teams in the second half and still go out there and compete. And I think that's what we've seen in these 3 games here. The St. Louis game should be interesting to see how those come out.
Bruce, we also talked about over the weekend and inside the clubhouse, your story on 670thescore.com about Craig Kimbrel and the teams that are maybe in pursuit of a closer. The Astros, the Red Sox, the Blue Jays, and the Athletics are the 4 that you named. Is he the next guy to go? And if so, when do you expect that to happen?
Probably not. I mean, he's the obvious guy to go, and he's the obvious guy, David and Tom, that will get the most for you because of the fact that he's so dominant, he can change games for a playoff-bound team all the way through the playoffs and maybe into the World Series. So for that, you're going to have to get something good back. Now, let's just – history tells you – 2016, the Chicago Cubs were a very good team, but with Hector Rondon as the a closer, they wanted something stronger. And what happened? They traded for Chapman from the Yankees. The Yankees got back a young player who turned into an all-star in Torres, and they were able, the Cubs were able to win a World Series. That's the way that a lot of teams are going to be looking at Kimbrel. So it might take until toward the deadline with so many teams interested in a guy that can change these teams' fate going toward the playoffs.
Great stuff, Bruce. Appreciate it. Have a great week. We'll talk to you later in the week.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Bruce Levine, the Scores Baseball Insider, and my co-host every Saturday at 9 o'clock on Inside the Clubhouse. And Tom, when we come back, I want to ask you about your perspective on what Lance Lynn had to say, because it applies to a couple free agents, pending free agents in this town. And Lance Lynn said that there's no point in going to free agency if you know where you want to be. Is that always true? We will talk about that next here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, The Mullane Haw Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.